result of living by faith, and that is rejoicing when things are as terrible as they can be. And to be honest with you, this book is real appropriate for us because of the COVID stuff that I've already heard of you people talking about. And we lost yesterday, had a big funeral for one of the young guys that was in our church and part of my Sunday school class, 40-some years old, 3 kids. And he's gone. He had COVID and spent time, like 3 or 4 weeks in the hospital with treatment and all, but it was time for him. And of course, we know he's a believer, so we look forward to seeing him again. But it's a terrible time with the COVID thing. And I don't know if God caused it or God allowed it, but it's here. So by faith, we will learn to live, will we not? Living by faith. Now, what is that? Okay, chapter 2 of Habakkuk, verse 4. And that was the big one that we kind of started with and hit a little bit. And it says this, "But the righteous one will live by his faith." Some of the other translations that you have might say, "The just shall live by faith." Now, that's repeated 3 times by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Usually when you study the Scriptures and you see repetition, that is there to highlight something. So when Paul used this in the New Testament, he used it in Romans, he used it in Galatians, he used it in Hebrews. When that is occurring, what he's saying is the just. And that's what he does in the book of Romans. If we had time, we'd go through that. In the book of Romans, it talks about how a person is redeemed. If you go through Romans, the first 8 chapters especially, we learn that redemption is in Christ, is it not? From Christ's death on the cross. It's not by anything we could do. Nothing. It's all done by Christ, and it's only by our faith in Him and our believing in Him that we are totally redeemed or we are just. So what I want to look at real quickly is the other half of this, which is living by faith. The just shall live by faith. So we want to talk a little bit about living by faith. Now, what in the world is living by faith? The world today would tell us, you know what they would say? They would say, well, it's just, you know, believing in yourself. Believing that you can do it. Just dream it. When I was a kid in school, my dream was to play for the Chicago Cubs. And you say, why would you want to play for them? They lost all the time. Until a few years ago when they finally won the World Series. But I love sports. I ended up mastering in the sports. And I love sports. I love baseball. I love to play. But the Lord took care of that when He took that out of my life. When I was a sophomore in high school, a little town over in Marshall, Illinois, they stopped baseball in high school. So I had to stop dreaming about playing in Wrigley Field. So, and the Lord made some other changes in my life. But anyway, living by faith is not believing in yourself, as the world would tell you. Because if I believe in myself and I think that I can do anything, hey, without the Lord, you can't do anything. It's only when you're in the Lord, and it's possible that He could have used me in that way and played baseball, but it didn't happen. So instead, He's using me this way. All right, so real quickly, let's flip through a couple chapters in the Bible, and let's see what this whole thing is about living by faith. So that when we walk out of here, we can maybe grow a little bit knowing what it means to live by faith. Take your Bibles, turn back to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll start there. Proverbs chapter 3 in the Old Testament. And most of you, if not all of you, probably know this verse. Proverbs chapter 5. Believing, walking by faith is walking by trust. And it says here in chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So what is your trust in? It's not in me. And I'm sorry, but it's not in your pastor, even though he says some great stuff, because I've heard him teach before, because he's teaching the Scriptures. It's not in the government. I'm not believing in the government. God is who we believe in. That's who we trust. Okay, so it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it has this next part, do not rely on your own understanding. All right, so you trust in the Lord with all your heart, but you can't go with the, oh, now wait a minute, I think I can do that. I think I can play for the Cubs someday. I think, he says, no, you trust in the Lord. It has to be in the Lord, not in me, not in my understanding, not in my thinking. You trust in the Lord. All right. Let's go from there to Romans. Take your Bible and flip to the New Testament. Let's go to that Romans chapter 10 this time. All right. Romans chapter 10. Now, in Romans, we have the first eight chapters I've already told you about coming to Christ, the redemption, what Christ has done. Now we get to chapters 9, 10, and 11, and it's like an interlude right in the middle of the book of Romans, and we find out that we as Gentiles, we get to be part of this plan of God, that it's not just for the Jewish people, but it's for us as well. And Paul starts this out, and he even says in chapter 9, he says, if I could give up my salvation so that all the Jewish nation would believe in Christ, he said, I'd do it. So he talks about this, and he gets to chapter 10. Look at 10, verse 17. All right. And he says this, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. Well, let's go a little bit before that. Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the message about Christ. Your translations might say, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Now, we didn't do that thing that I was here last time. We got to pledge our... You didn't do that today, Pastor. That's okay. I'm old. I forget things too. But it's the Scriptures is what brings our faith to us. It's not anything else. It's the Scriptures. And there is one other part that I'll tell you about here in a second. But it's the Scriptures that tell you about God, and it tells you about Christ. A couple of places in Scripture, you know, in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. So you can look and you can see that there's a God, but you can't see that what His solution was in Christ. That doesn't tell you that. It only tells you about how great God's creation is, and it is great, let me tell you. And we are God's creation, and we are created in amazing ways. God created, but He didn't say how we are involved in that through Christ. He says it's by faith. It's only faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message. Faith in Christ can only come through the message that's in the Scriptures. We read other places in Scripture and it says, blessed are the feet that bring good news, of good tidings, of great joy, that we study and read about and celebrate every year at Christmas time. That's Christ who has come. So, faith comes, the faith that we receive comes from Christ and His death. And we learn about it in the text, or that somebody tells us about it. Somebody has to share about Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word. Faith comes from the Word of God. The Word is so important. God has given it to us. What should we do with it? Read it for sure, study it, learn it, apply it, obey it. We must. That's what believers do. Believers don't just believe and say, okay, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. We need to follow the text. You must be in the Word of God. God has given it to us. The Word of God. Let's go back now real quickly to Luke 24. What part of the Word of God should we look at? My favorite text, and if we had more time, I would take you through Luke 24. But you remember what happened on the road to Emmaus? The day that Christ was crucified, Friday, and then He spent 3 days in the grave, and He arose on the Sunday, the first day of the week. He arose, and on that day was this couple. They were in Jerusalem when He arose. They were there with them. They were followers of Christ. And can you imagine the disappointment to know that He was crucified and then to hear that He was resurrected? But the thing is, on the resurrection, they were so disappointed because they didn't know what's going on. So they went home to Emmaus. It's called the Emmaus Walk. They walked to their home, and on the way, Christ appeared to them, the risen Christ. Wouldn't that be something if that happened to you? That if He literally appeared to you, He appeared on the road to Emmaus, He appeared to Cleopas and to Cleopas's companion as they walked home, and He suddenly appeared, and they were there, and they talked, and it says in this text that Christ shared with them about what happens from the Old Testament, all about Christ being in the Old Testament. And then He gets down to verse 44. This was after they figured out, okay, Christ appeared and he sat down and ate with them. And then He let their mind come open to realize that this is Christ, the risen one. And then Christ disappeared. This is Luke chapter 24. And so what they did was they hurried back to Jerusalem. I don't know how far it was, but I'd say probably within a day. And they came back to Jerusalem and they met with the disciples. And guess what happened then? At the last part of chapter 24, Christ appeared to the disciples at that point. And He appeared, and then He says in verse 44, then He told them, "These are My words that I spoke to you when you were with Me, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses, prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. What He taught them was the Bible that He read. What Bible did Jesus read when He was here on earth 2,000 years ago? Well, the New Testament hadn't been completed yet, hadn't been formed. The Apostle Paul hadn't written yet. So Jesus' Bible that he read was the Old Testament. And He says here, He explained to them from the Old Testament, from the prophets, from the Psalms, and from the, what was the other one? Law of Moses. That's the Old Testament. So He explained to them about Himself in the Old Testament. Christ is in the Old Testament. We don't have time to do that, but I could take you through the book of Isaiah. I'm sure Pastor Jerry has been there before. Chapter 53 that talked about his death, His crucifixion. That's amazing stuff. Let me exhort you this morning. Let me encourage you that when you study the Scriptures and you read the Scriptures, read and study the Old Testament. Go through the Scriptures, and I challenge you. I used to do this. We used to do this at our church when I pastored. Every year, we would have sign-up sheet. Read through the Scriptures in 1 year. That is great to do, but the thing is that a lot of people will just read, you know, rotely read through and don't even understand basically what they're reading. We want to read and understand. Read the Old Testament and study the Old Testament, I challenge you, especially the prophets, and look for Christ. Look for the Scriptures that refer to Christ. Fantastic stuff. Don't leave out the Old Testament. Jesus said He explained to them about Himself in the Old Testament. Where He occurred, how this all fits together. That would have been amazing. I would have loved to have been there at that particular point. Okay, so let's go one more time. From here, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is very important. We've got the Word of God. We've got Christ in our life. Okay, we've received Christ. We've got the Word that God has given us. This is His spoken Word that He's given us. But there's a lot of it that is kind of difficult to understand. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's what he says. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says this. No eye has heard. Well, okay, where am I at here? Let's see. Verse 4, I'll tell you. Chapter 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard into a man's heart, what God has prepared for those who love Him. All right, Old Testament, that's from the book of Isaiah. Now God, next verse, now God has revealed them to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows of the concerns of a man except the spirit of the man that's in him? In the same way, no one knows the commands of God except the Spirit of God. And guess what happens when you receive Christ as your Savior? You receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about us being baptized in the Spirit. So when you receive Christ, you are baptized in the Spirit. Christ lives in you, in a sense, even though Christ is with His Heavenly Father. Yet He has given us the Holy Spirit. This is what they didn't have in the Old Testament, unless they were anointed, and the kings and so on, many of them were anointed. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. You, in Christ today, have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, dwelling in you. Why? Well, it does other things besides show you the Scripture. It convicts you of sin and so on. But it tells you what the Scriptures are all about. It'll help you. The Holy Spirit, I don't mean it. I mean He will help us understand the truth. Living by faith is after you receive Christ, it is being in the Word of God and having God dwelling in you, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and it helps you live by faith. I don't know if you remember or not, but when I was here before, I don't know if you remember what Habakkuk did at the end of his little book, three chapters. What did Habakkuk do? In spite of terrible stuff coming on the Israelis and the Jerusalem nation, the nation of the Jews. In spite of terrible Babylonians come to take them into exile, which is what happened because Habakkuk wrote right before they were taken into exile. What did Habakkuk say at the end of his little book, the third chapter of Habakkuk? Habakkuk says, in spite of what's happening, in spite of COVID, whatever, in spite of the vines not providing grapes, I will trust in the Lord. That's what Habakkuk said. That's what happens when we're in Christ. That's what happens when Christ is in us. That's what happens when we're in the Scriptures. And when we study the Scriptures, it comes alive in us. And when I lose a friend like yesterday and have to bury that friend and know that that friend was in Christ, in spite of the, and it is kind of, well, to lose somebody that's a part of your life, your husband or whoever, not easy to adjust to that. But when you have Christ in your life, you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Lean on God's Word's understanding. That's what it is. we have been given the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We should rejoice. And I do rejoice. I rejoice, my friend that I lost yesterday, that I know that I will see him again. My parents who are gone, Sandy's parents who are gone, we rejoice because we know they were in Christ. So what we do, we study, we learn, then we are the good news to go and to share the good news with others. That's how Christ uses us. The Bible is a tremendous book, folks. It's the greatest book that has ever been written. It's amazing how God can take 40-some authors and put those together in one book that tells one story. The story of Christ. The story that from the beginning, the first three chapters, problem, sin. Sin came into the world. What do I do? God knows what he's going to do. And he spends the rest of the book taking care of the problem. The solution, it's Christ. Christ alone. Faith in Christ alone. That's how we are to live today. The just. And if you're here today and if you've received Christ by faith, and I pray you have, from what I've heard, it sure sounds like it. But the just shall live by faith. So your living is based on the faith that comes from the Word of God, based on Christ, what He's done for us. Nothing that I could do, nothing that any of you folks could do, as much as we would like to die for somebody like Christ did, we're not Christ. We're not the second person of the Godhead. We're human beings. But God has taken care of the problem. Thank you. No kidding. Thank you. That is so true. That Christ has accomplished the work. There is a sting in death, but that sting has been removed in Christ. We are encouraged because someday we not only will see Christ face to face, but we'll see our loved ones that have died in Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are grateful today. Our hearts are filled with the joy of knowing that we who have received you and become your child, that we belong to you eternally, no matter what comes into our life. Lord, we know that these are difficult times, as they were difficult times for even Habakkuk in the Old Testament. And yet at the end he could rejoice because he knew you, because he had a faith that belonged and was entrusted to you. Lord, may our faith grow. May it grow stronger every day because we know you and we are in your word. Lord, help us to every day know your word, learn your word, read your word, meditate on it, and by your Holy Spirit to understand it, to believe it, and to obey it. Help us to do that, Lord. We rejoice in you today because of Christ. Thank you for our time. Continue to bless these people and for the needs that they have. Father, I pray that you would answer every one of their needs in Christ. Thank you for our time, and we pray in his name, Christ's name. Amen.